You may remain seated. The text that forms the basis for our sermon today comes from our gospel reading, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name, dear beloved children of God, what does it feel like to be abandoned? The Greek word in verse 18 is orphanus, gives us the English word orphans. Jesus recognizes there's a potential for his disciples to feel abandoned, alone, on their own. They recline in the upper room with their beloved teacher and master and friend. They hang on his every word. These are Jesus' last words, a farewell sermon to his disciples, because soon after, they will venture out into the night, into the darkness. They will go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, that place of prayer, and there, their master, their teacher, their friend will be taken away. They'll be left alone by themselves, and Jesus is taken to death. It's a bit of a flashback in the church calendar. We're now 6 weeks removed from Easter. We've been hearing of the resurrection witness and testimony of the disciples, and now we go back. It's a flashback. In the memory of John the Apostle, we have a memory, an account of those words, so that as we go forth in our own resurrection, we would take these words and this promise with us, where the Lord assures us that his Spirit comes to us and we will never be alone. In one way or another, we might all face that feeling, abandoned, on our own, left to fend for ourselves. It might not necessarily be in terms of a baby left alone in the park by some mom who can't handle it, although it could be. And yet there's many other ways people feel abandoned, alone. They get the idea that they're on their own. And they get the idea that God, perhaps, is behind it all. Today we consider three situations where a Christian might feel alone. One way we might feel alone is when we're overwhelmed by our own sinfulness. When we wonder if God can forgive us, or if he can ever welcome us into his presence again. We're left abandoned in our own sinfulness. Another way we might feel abandoned is when someone who is supposed to love us hurts us. We're left alone, wondering if we can ever trust again, if we can ever love again, and we're abandoned by someone who is supposed to love us. And a third way we might feel abandoned is when we lose a loved one. When death robs us of someone close to us. And again, we're left alone in our grief. It becomes for us a resurrected flashback to take us back to that upper room where we hear the words of our Lord, where we hear his promises, where he assures us that he will come to us, that he will counsel us, that he will care for us. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. With his Spirit, we are never alone. A little while longer, and the world will see him no more. He will die, and the light of the world will be extinguished in the darkness of sin. Jesus is escorted away by a detachment of Jewish leaders and by Roman troops. He's taken away to death. And who will stand up for him in this betrayal? Who will stop the injustice? No one. Matthew records how all the disciples forsook him and fled. His own chosen had abandoned him. One way that we might feel abandoned is when our own sinfulness overwhelms us. When we feel separated from God because of the things we've done. The more and more we find ourselves falling into sin and weaknesses, the more we feel separated from God. Here we are, God-given caretakers of this world. We are mothers and fathers. We are employees and employers. We're children. We're parents. And yet, when times are tough, when temptation has its way with us, when people we are supposed to love and serve don't seem to deserve it, we leave things undone. We're supposed to be temples of the Holy Spirit, and yet what do we seem to find in our lives? There are times and it just doesn't seem worth it all. And it's as if we figure somebody else will come along and do these things for us. We're overwhelmed in our sinfulness, and it's not that God has abandoned us, it's that we've abandoned God. Isaiah writes that your sins have separated you from God. And sin does separate us from God. And ongoing sin makes us feel more and more like we're orphans. Like we don't deserve to be called a child of God. It's our sinfulness that leaves us alone. And yet this is where God brings a flashback. A resurrected flashback. He takes us back to that upper room where Jesus speaks to those same disciples who are going to abandon their Lord. He says, I will not leave you, orphans. I will come to you. The way Jesus comes to us and does not abandon us is by sending us his Spirit. It's called in the Greek, the Paraclete. In English, we would translate it something like the Comforter or the Counselor. The work of the Spirit is to comfort troubled sinners, to counsel us in our times of despair and loneliness, to be with us. Part of his work is to reveal that, yes, we have left things undone. We do not deserve to be called God's child. But at the same time, his work is also to reveal the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. The Spirit reveals Jesus, the one who enters into the darkness of our sins, who undoes what we've done and does what we've left undone. The Paraclete comes to comfort us with Christ's resurrection. You are not alone. He is with you. God has not abandoned you. He remains with you in his word, sending his Spirit to show you that he has paid for those sins, that he has raised up Jesus, and that in the waters of baptism he calls you his child. It is that word which moves us to love him, to keep his commandments. The word keep means to treasure. This means that we treasure his commandments. And even when we don't obey them, we still treasure them. We still call them good, and we love them. Because we know that his commandments are the will of the Spirit. And we treasure that work. The work of the Spirit is a work of repentance, a work of crushing and killing our old man and bringing forth a new man who lives according to God's commandments, who loves to live according to God's commandments. In this we begin to see in our lives what the world cannot see. Our teacher, our master, our friend lives, and he's with us. With his Spirit, we are never alone. His disciples might have felt alone, however, that night. They likely felt abandoned. All their hopes and their confidence had been placed in him, and now he's dead. Why would God let it happen? Why would he let that person who loved them so much be taken from them? Does God not love them? Another way we might feel abandoned is when someone who is supposed to love us does something to hurt us. Often those who are able to inflict the most pain in our lives are those closest to us, those called to love and serve us. They hurt us. They let us down. We're supposed to be able to rely on them, and yet they prove unreliable. And such experiences can leave a Christian feeling abandoned, and to even think God was perhaps behind it all. You could take, for example, any number of stories about a broken house or a broken marriage. Children, by nature, rely on their parents for everything. And there's so many stories about parents letting their children down. It's a sad story, and one all too familiar. A young girl abused by a father. She's grown up now. He's gone. But the memories are not. She can never be the same. It's a struggle to sustain any sort of meaningful relationship in her life, to ever pursue marriage or social relationships. He was supposed to love her, and yet he hurt her. She was supposed to be able to rely on him in every trouble, and yet she can't trust him. She was left alone, abandoned. Has God left her? The disciples wondered if they were alone. It seemed their Lord was taken from them by the hands of sinful men. And yet in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the evil works of evil men, God was promising something good. That there was life beyond death. That he would answer their questions, and he would do it in a promise. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In such times when we feel abandoned, when we wonder if God has left us, we need that resurrected flashback. The world can't see what you can see. It's hidden from their sight. So many of the evils that lurk around in this fallen world that we witness in the news, in our lives, are a testimony to death, to the curse that binds this creation, that brings us to do things that we don't want to do and have things done to us that we never wish we could remember. And in all of this, we will never see God for who he is. It's a fallen world, and God is hidden from it. And yet we see what the world does not see. We see God in a promise. We see his Spirit coming to us to comfort us so that what the world cannot see, we believe. That Jesus is risen. And because he lives, we too will live. Because he lives, that we know the restoration of all things that have been broken will be restored. This means comfort for those who have been hurt. It means a life for those who feel they're dead. It means a girl who feels so alone is never alone. God has not abandoned her. And in his Spirit, he is with her, as he is with you. In his word, he remains with you, showing you who he truly is, showing you he has redeemed you from all evil. And he might not answer every question about why certain things might have happened, but what he does answer is where to go with your pain. He gives us a commandment to believe, and he shows us that the Spirit is the one who reveals all things have been restored in Christ Jesus. He gives us patience to wait for the resurrection, to wait for that last day where our Lord brings vindication for all that's wrong, where he brings us life eternal, where he brings us peace and joy and happiness. With his Spirit, we are never alone. The disciples will again find themselves feeling alone. After he dies, they are alone. In another upper room, behind locked doors, afraid. They've lost a loved one. He left that upper room and went into the darkness, and they wondered if they would ever see him again. A third way we might feel abandoned is when we lose someone we love. When death robs us of someone close to us, and it leaves us feeling quite alone. Any spouse that has lost a husband knows the feeling. Any parent that has lost a child knows the feeling. It's a feeling of a void. It makes us feel like orphans when we lose someone we love. Death is the enemy. And 1 Corinthians 15 describes death as an enemy. It's the last enemy, and it will be destroyed when our Lord returns. But for us who still live in a world that is fallen, where death still reigns over physical life, we face tribulation. Why did Jesus go to death? Why did he venture into the darkness? The words he speaks are not really a farewell, but they're a glimpse of the last day. In his death, he faces death and he conquers it. When he comes to us in his spirit, he brings us all that he has accomplished on the last day, the victory over all evil and over death itself. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. He lives, and he lives here. He lives where we hear his word, where we gather together. And where Jesus is, there are all believers. All who have died believing in Jesus are here, in Jesus, awaiting that last day. Death robs us, and God gives it back to us, what we've lost. The verse of the day describes this when Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He fills the void, and he assures us that on the last day, all who have loved him and kept his commandments will join the chorus that sing the resurrection song. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." As we wait for that last day, we know we're never alone. His Spirit is in us, and his Spirit is teaching us to treasure his commandments. And those commandments give us purpose. Even after the loss of a loved one, his commandments give us purpose. They call us to be caretakers of God's creation, to continue on in our calling, to be steadfast and faithful, knowing that he will come again, and because he lives, we will live also. It is a resurrected flashback, and yet it's also a fast forward. With his Spirit, we receive something eternal, both what Jesus has done in the past and what he will do in the future. It is Christ, our risen Lord, who is with us so that we are never alone in his Spirit. When your sins seem to overwhelm you, his Spirit brings overwhelming forgiveness. When the sins of those close to you hurt you, the Spirit loves you and cares for you. He undoes what has been done and he redoes us in trust and love for God's commandments. And finally, when the death of a loved one leaves us feeling alone, feeling sad, his Spirit remains with us, giving us hope in the last day when all who love and treasure God's commandments will be raised up to that joyous song, and we will be joined together with all who believe and love and keep his commandments. Because he lives, we too will live. And with his Spirit, we are never alone. Amen.